Welcome to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our series, The Hustle. You're probably familiar with the shell game. You know, the one where a con artist on the streets cheats you out of your money by moving the shells around while you're trying to keep track of which shell has the ball under it. You think you have it figured out, but when the shell is lifted up, the ball is gone and so is your money. Sometimes dealing with personal finances feels like that. We feel hustled by trying to keep up with the bills, expenses, the taxes, and the Joneses. But it seems like the more we hustle to try and keep up, the more we get hustled. But there's good news. God has a plan for your financial freedom, and we're going to share it with you. Enjoy today's message.
Hello, New Point. I want to welcome each and every one of you. And if this happens to be your first time here, I just want you to know that we're honored to have you here today. And New Point is one church, and we're in five locations. And I want to give a shout out to those in Millersburg and Worcester and Canton and Dover and Coshocton and soon to be Cambridge. And so we're glad that you're joining us. We're in a series called The Hustle. The Hustle. And if you weren't here last week, I want to encourage you to download the podcast because it'll be very helpful because I basically led the foundation for what we're going to be talking about in these next several weeks. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Here's what we learned last week. We've all been hustled because we've all felt taken advantage of in the area of our finances. We've all walked away from something or had an experience of where, you know, we just felt like, I just got hustled. I just got taken advantage of. And what we learned is this. I know the saying is, what you don't know can't hurt you, but we learned that that's a lie. What you don't know can and will hurt you. And so we have to get a handle on our finances, and yet the fact of the matter is most of us have never been trained in it. You know, mom and dad didn't teach us about it. And so what happens is we leave home, and one of the central things of our life, what our world revolves around, nobody has taught us. And so what happens is we learn by experience. And I know that people say, well, hey, the greatest teacher in life is experience. Listen, I don't believe that that's true. I believe that truth is the greatest teacher. You don't have enough time. You don't have enough life in front of you just to learn from experiences. It's too hard. And so we're taking some time here to basically say, okay, we don't want to be hustled anymore. We want to be able to experience a level of peace in our finances. Now, after last week, if you were here, you know, maybe you left and you felt kind of down and depressed. And what I want you to know is every single person here today have made mistakes financially. We all have. We've all been hustled in one way or another. And if we're honest, some of us have just made some flat-out dumb choices when it comes to our finances. And we have a tendency to think that we're the only one, but you're not the only one. You have plenty of company. And so I just want you to know that and understand that. Now, what I'm going to share with you today is going to be very practical. It's going to be very simple. You're not going to have a hard time understanding any of this. Because here's what I believe. I believe that finances is 80% behavior and 20% knowledge. And so it's not something that's hard to understand. It is something that's hard to do or to implement. And personal finances is 80% behavior. And we have to own that, okay? Again, what we don't acknowledge, we don't address. And the reason why Jesus speaks so much about money, and he does, okay, more about money than heaven or hell, more about money than love, any of that, is because he knows that it plays such a major role in your life and in my life. And he knows that it connects to your heart and it connects to my heart. Matter of fact, he says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And that's the motivation that we have. And so he deeply, deeply cares about you and me. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. And for you and I to be able to experience that, we have to have financial peace. Now, here's what you need to understand about God. God is a God of systems. God is a God of systems. You have a skeletal system. You have a cardiovascular system. You have a muscular system. You have a central nervous system. And you know as well as me, whenever those systems get out of line, what do we say? We're sick. We're not feeling well. We don't feel good. And God has a system for finances. He wants you and I to align with that. Just like your physical systems have to be aligned for them to function well, God has a system for your finances and my finances, and when they align, then what happens is we experience peace. Now, here's what we need to understand about systems. Your system is perfectly designed to produce the results you're getting. So if you're telling me that you're stressed out over your finances, you got a system that's perfectly designed to keep you in the arena of being stressed out. And so whatever your level of experience is with your finances, your system is perfectly designed to produce the results you're getting. And if you're saying to me, I don't like the results I'm getting financially, then what happens is you need to make a change. And you need to make a change in your system of how you view and how you handle finances. Because here's what we need to understand. Talks do not create behaviors. Okay? Coming and sitting in a room like this, listening to me, will not change your behavior. Systems create behaviors. Not talks, not speeches. And so what I want to do today is I just want us to look at some systems because they create behaviors. And I can stand up here and I can give a passionate plea that your finances change, but they won't change unless you address the system. Now, what does that take? It takes discipline. That nasty word. But, you know what? There's a benefit to it. And here's what the Hebrew writer has to say. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. We'd all agree with that, right? But painful. Oh, we got to do that? It's painful. And yet he goes on to say this. Later on, though, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. Woo! Anybody interested in that? See, this is the pay now, play later syndrome. If you're a parent, maybe you've used that with your kids. You know, they come home from school and you say, hey, you know what? We're getting the homework done right now. We're going to pay now so that you can play later in the evening. And so it's true with you and me. It's true in all of life. You're either going to pay now and play later, or you're going to play now and end up paying later. That's what he's saying here. And he's saying that if you and I will come under a discipline, though it's painful at the time, it will produce something, a harvest of righteousness. You will be in right standing. Where? With your finances. That's what we're talking about here. And you'll have peace. Peace. That's what we all long for, right? I mean, you probably have thought that. Can I just have a little bit of peace? But you can't have peace because your finances aren't right. And so you're worried about your finances. And so he goes on to say, he says, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Wow, that's what I want to do today. I want to train you. Because talks do not change behaviors. Systems do. And I hope you're up to making a change. And so let's dive in, all right? Because I want you to reap a harvest. I want you to experience peace. So here's the first thing, all right? It's this. You got to acknowledge God as the owner. As owner. That's the first thing. Acknowledge God as owner. Now you might be here today and you might be searching, you might be investigating Christianity, you might be wondering if there is a God or not. And that's okay. We're glad that you're here. I've come to the belief and the realization that there is a God, and so I acknowledge him. And I not only acknowledge him as God, but I acknowledge him as the owner of everything. David, he writes this in Psalms 24:1. He says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." Not most things. Everything in it. The world and all who live in it. And so what David believed and what I believe is that God's the owner of everything. You say, well, Dwight, I need a little bit more proof, okay? You may not believe the scriptures. You know, maybe you're wondering, you know, whether the scriptures is really true or not, but you'll agree with this statement. Paul writes to Timothy about it, and he says this, "For we brought nothing into the world." Would you agree with that? You came in butt naked, man. Okay, but naked. You didn't bring anything into this world. Not a piece of clothing. Okay, you didn't come in with diapers on. Okay, you came in but naked. And that's what he says. He says, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it." Now, again, You might not believe scripture, but you know that's to be true because no doubt you've been at a funeral before. There's no U-Haul there. There's no U-Haul. You're taking nothing out of this. You know why? Because you don't own anything. You're a steward. You and I have been entrusted with it. 50 years? I don't know. 75 years? I don't know. 100 years? I don't know, but you don't own anything. Now, how do you know when you've come to a point of where you've acknowledged God as the owner? You don't worry. Everything that you worry about, you think you're the owner of. Because you don't worry about things you don't own. See, this is really good. See, this is where you get the peace. Okay? The reason why you don't have peace is because you think you own a lot and you're worried about somebody getting it and taking it from you. And the first step in experiencing financial peace is to acknowledge, God, you're the owner. I didn't bring anything into this world, and I'm not going to take anything out of this world. And the fact of the matter is, you don't worry about things you don't think you own. And for those of us who are Christ followers, it even goes deeper than this. Here's how far it goes. Jesus, okay, says, "You cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own." So if we don't acknowledge that God is the owner of everything and that we are stewards, you can't be his disciple. You can be his groupie. You can hang out with him. You're not his disciple. And so the first thing that we have to be able to understand is in this system, we have to acknowledge that God is the owner. Have you ever done that? God, you own my house. God, you own my car. God, you own my bed. God, you own my finances. God, you own my children. God, you own everything. I'm but a steward. See, that's the foundational. That's the step that we have to be able to take. Here's the second one. Once we do that, then we need to get out of debt. Oh, we're going there. We're going there. I want to help you. I want to help you. We got to get out of debt. We looked a little bit at this last week because I laid the foundation. And the first thing that we need to do is we need to pray. And here's what we need to pray. God, I need your wisdom. God, I need your guidance. I need your direction because I want to get out of debt. Because it's killing me. I'm trapped. I feel like a slave. See, this is what Proverbs talks about. We looked at this last week. The rich rule over the poor. You say it's not fair. Okay, it's not fair. Fairness ended in the garden. Life isn't fair. Get used to it. God is good, though. So he says here, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. Wow. And so what happens is a slave doesn't have options, or at best, few options. They're told what to do. See, a slave, you ready for this? A slave has a job that he doesn't like. A slave has a job that she doesn't like. You know why? Because you got to go there to work because you got to pay the bills. And you have to say, I have to make so much money to be able to pay the bills. And you're spending over half of your life there. Are you all okay? But you're a slave because you can't do what you want to do. You'd like to do something else. Maybe something that you feel is more meaningful. But you know what? You're a slave. So off to work you go. And you're working and you're working and you're working and you're working. That's not fun. That's not the life that God has for you or for me. See, we have to understand this, that debt is not a number problem, but a behavior problem. It's a behavior problem. And you don't wander into debt, and you can't wander out of debt. So what happens is you have to be very, very intentional. You can wander into debt, all right, nibble your way into debt, right? We can handle this, we can handle this, we can handle this, we can handle this. But you can't wander your way out of debt. And so Dave Ramsey, okay, and I encourage you, I've read all of his stuff and helping me prepare for these lessons. You know, he would say if you're in debt, what you need to do is you need to list all of your assets. List all of them. And list the areas that you're indebted. And start off with the smallest one. And then work your way down to the largest debt that you have. And what you want to be able to do is you want to be able to pay off the smallest debt because that's called a win. And when you pay off that smallest debt, what happens is it makes you feel good. Check. And so what you want to do is list your assets. You want to be able to make a list of your debts. And then what you want to do is you want to sell something. You know that stuff that you got in your basement or in your garage or in that storage place that you haven't been to for 3 or 4 or 5 months? You want to go there and you want to put it into circulation. You want to put it on Craigslist. You want to put it on eBay. You want to be able to sell that stuff so that what happens is you can get as far out as debt as you possibly can. That's what you want to do. And what happens is it'll be a wonderful feeling in your life when you are able to maneuver and do things that you want to do, not based on whether you can afford it or not, but you have margin in your life to be able to allow you to have freedom. You know, I was doing some reading and I came across this right here. You ready for this? Millennials? Okay. American students, it has tripled in the last decade, their student loans. And so what happens is the milestone of wanting to own a home or even getting married is far from their thinking because they're saying, I am so in debt, I'm a slave to this. And that's how our world works. You know, they want to hustle you. Listen to this. You ready for this? The average car payment in America is $485 over 86 months. That's according to the National Auto Dealer. Put that in a mutual fund, okay, from the age of 30 to the age of 70, and let's say a mutual fund somewhere between 10 to 12%, and guess what you have at the end of those years? Ready for this? $5.6 million. That's what you have. So debt will eat you alive. And you can wander into debt, but you can't wander out of debt. So what happens is you and I have to set up our mind and we have to say, hey, you know what? I am not going to become a slave to the lender. I just refuse it. Now listen, here's what we need to understand. Contentment is probably the number one financial principle that you need to embrace and that I need to embrace. It's probably the most powerful financial principle, contentment. That means being able to enjoy what I have. Contentment doesn't mean laziness. Contentment means I'm going to enjoy what I have while I'm working towards this goal. Because what happens is the way in which we get into debt, okay, is we have what I call destination disease. And we think, when I get that, when I purchase that, when I have that, I'm going to be happy. And it's just not true. It's a lie. What you don't know will hurt you. And so we need to acknowledge God as owner, and we need to get out of debt. And today, I hope that you'll say, you know what, Dwight, today I'm going to be intentional on getting out of debt, which means you can't continually go into debt. Here's the third thing. We need to act our wage. You need to act your wage. You need to be able to live on what you make. That's hard today because there's many different distractions out there. We talked a little bit about this last week. You have to learn to live on less than what you make. You're not in Congress. All right, how does it make you feel? It ticks us off, right? Makes us mad. Because it creates pressure on all of us. And what happens is when we don't live within our wage, it creates pressure in our marriage. It creates pressure in our family. And so you have to spend less than what you make. You will not prosper spending more than what you make. Proverbs says it like this. He says, a foolish man or woman, all right, devours all he has. All he has. Just eats it up. Basically, live from paycheck to paycheck to paycheck. Now listen, here's what I know what you're saying. Well, Dwight, if you made what I made, that you'd have to do that too. No. Debt is a behavior problem. It's not a number problem. It's a behavior problem. Okay? You may not be able to have everything that your sister-in-law has. You may not be able to have everything that your brother has. Life's not fair. But you have to ask yourself, would you rather live with peace or would you rather live with pressure? See, I'm of the persuasion, okay, I'd rather make less money and enjoy my work than to make more money and hate my work. And the only way that I can do that is by acting my wage. See, the Hebrew writer says it like this. Keep your lives free from the love of money or mammon, stuff, materialism. It'll eat your lunch. And by the way, we learned this last week, okay? They market you and they market me. Why do you think they pay so much for these commercials? Because they're appealing to my appetite and they're appealing to your appetite. And they're letting you know, okay, if you want to be cool, if you want to be hip, if you want to be in the in crowd, if you want to have status, if you want to be that image here, then you have to drive this, you have to have this, you have to wear this, you have to do that. And what he says is keep your lives free from the love of things or money and be content with what you have. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have financial goals. We're going to get to that in a moment. But here's what he says. Because God has said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. You see, what happens is God has made a promise. He's always going to be with you. He's always going to be with you. And God will always give you what you need. It may not be in the season that you want it, but it'll be in the timing of which you can handle it. And so you got to act your wage. Here's the fourth thing. That is, you got to save and invest. We've got to save and invest. And you say, how can I save and invest if I'm in debt up to my ears? Okay? Well, what happens is, here's what Proverbs says. Proverbs says, the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. You got to save for the future. Even if it's just a little bit, even if it's just small, no discipline is pleasant at the time, but is what? Painful. Debt is not a number problem, it's a behavior problem. So what happens is you and I have to change our behavior. We have to change our behavior. So you want to be able to save for the future. Ramsey, okay, would say it this way. He says we need to save for three things, okay? Number one, emergency. Or rainy day. You're going to have a rainy day. Okay? There's going to be a rainy day in your life. And you say, Dwight, why don't you be more positive? Okay? I'm positive that you're going to have a rainy day. You're going to have emergencies in your life. It's just life. So you want to be able to save for that. You want to be able to have a minimum of $1,000. Okay, and I know I know what you're thinking. That's impossible. No, it's not. Okay, it may take you a little bit to get there, but it's not, none of this is impossible. Okay, it's I want to. I want. Not just I want to, but I want to, I want. You got to double up. You got to be intentional. So emergency, second one is cash. Is cash. And what I mean by that is that you begin to save a little bit of cash, okay, maybe through your work, but you begin to save a little bit of cash so that what happens is you can end up beginning to buy things instead of put it on credit. And the last one is wealth. You want to be able to invest in wealth. Here's what Proverbs says. He grows rich who accumulates little by little. Let me help you with something, okay? If you save $100 a month, that's your cable. Forget the pizza and the Starbucks. Y'all okay? If you save $100 a month beginning at the age of 30 till the age of 70 in a basic mutual fund that probably has about 10% over that time, you will have approximately $1.2 million. 45% of all boomers have nothing to retire on. Been watching a lot of great shows, eating a lot of great pizza, but now we're worried about whether we're going to have enough at the end. And so what happens is you have to save and then you have to invest. Okay, instead of having a Starbucks every single day, I'm going to have one a week. Okay, instead of having, maybe instead of going out to eat four nights a week, okay, you know what, we're going to go out one night a week. I don't know what it means for you. I don't know. But I guarantee you that you can save a little bit. And in saving a little bit, invest, and it grows. See, let me tell you about wealthy people, okay? Here's what I learned, and I learned this 20 years ago. Never thought of it. Wealthy people don't just work for money. They make money work for them. It's called investment. Taking a little bit and investing it. Having discipline and being able to do that. Let me give you the next one, and it's give. Give. You're saying you're kidding me. No, this is part of God's system. Okay? He calls everything that God has created gives. except man. We want to take. And Paul writes about this when he writes to the church in Corinth, and here's what he says. Remember this. Why? Because we forget. We forget. We forget that this is part of his system. This is the part of the way in which God works. So Paul is saying, remember, don't forget this, because what happens is you'll fall in the way in which other people think who are broke. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Wow. He's saying, you know what? If you sow sparingly, then you're not going to get very much back. You sow generously, you're going to get a whole lot back. He says this. He says, each of you, okay, should give what you have decided in your heart to give, and not reluctantly or under compulsion. That's why this series isn't about giving. I'm not trying to motivate you to give. I'm trying to give you the truth about giving. Nobody should manipulate you or coerce you into giving. I wouldn't sit under anybody's teaching who manipulates you or coerces you to go into giving. That's why he says you should decide in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. He's just saying, I want you to know how it works. For God loves a what? A cheerful giver. And here's what he does, okay? And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I'm a living example of that. I'm a living example of that. I've always been a giver because I know this. I've practiced this. And maybe you don't give, and I want to help you with this, okay? So there's three ways in which you can give, okay? One is just by a priority. It might be $5, I don't know. And do you have to give it to New Point? Don't give it to New Point if you think this is some form to give you to help us. Go give it someplace else. But I'm telling you, you need to make it a priority. I'm gonna start giving, no matter how small it is. $5 a week, $10 a week, $25 a week, whatever. $50 a week, whatever it is. You got to make it a priority. And then what happens is you want to be able to move to become a percentage giver. Percentage giver. Of where you begin to say, hey, you know what? I want to start out with a percentage. And for Patty and I, you know what? Almost every year what we do is we sit down and we say, how much money we're going to give away? And then you want to be a progressive giver. You see, what happens is I make more money today than what I did 10 years ago. Can I let you in on a secret? It wasn't to increase my lifestyle. Did he go there? I went there. You see, what happens, we think that God blesses us always just to increase our lifestyle. Many times he blesses us so that we can be even a greater blessing to those around us. And you know what? It's fun. It's incredible. It's great. You know, what happens, Patty and I, when we see baptisms here, you know what? We're part of that. When we hear about a new campus, we're a part of that. We're helping making that happen in a tangible way. I'm telling you, it does incredible things to my heart, because whatever you give to, that's where you find your heart, your treasure. And so God wants you to be able to give. Let me give you this last one. Get on a budget. Get on a budget. You got to get on a budget and track your money. Here's what Proverbs has to say. Plan carefully and you will have plenty. If you act too quickly, you will never have enough. So what happens is you want to have a budget, because a budget tells you where you want to put your money. You know, there's been times in my life of, you know, you go by that blue light special and I just shake, because it's something that I want, but it's something that I can't afford right now unless I break a principle. And so what happens is we live, and the world is marketed on your impulsiveness and my impulsiveness. And so you want to have a budget. You want to be able to plan carefully and say, hey, you know what? Here's where we want to be able to put our money. You see, Jesus would say it like this. He would say, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down and first count the cost, whether it has enough to finish it? That's budgeting. Do we have enough to be able to finish this? Do we have enough to be able to do this and it not wreck our marriage, not wreck our family, not wreck our life? Or are we going to be praying for one miracle after another miracle, week in, week out? And so one of the things that we have done, and we've taught this to our kids, is it's the 10-10-80 rule. And that is, we're going to give 10%. We're going to save 10%. We're going to live on 80%. And my belief is, if you have to live on more than 80%, you're living too high on the hog. You need to act your wage. And so you need to get on a budget. And you need to ask yourself these four questions. What do you owe? What do you own? What do you earn? And where does it go? Where does it go? Now listen, here's what I want you to understand, and then I'm done. You can't pick and choose one of these. It doesn't work that way. Okay, you can't say, well, I'm just going to give and hope everything turns out all right. It doesn't work that way. You have to do all of these things because they're all weaved together. You know why? Because God doesn't care about your money. God cares about you. He wants you to have a life that's filled with purpose and peace. That's what He wants. And so you have to weave all of these together. You have to embrace all of these together. And I promise you, if you do, you will begin to experience a life that you've never experienced before. You see, Jesus said it like this. He said, happy or blessed. That means to be envied or to be fortunate or to be respected. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. For they shall be completely and fully satisfied. See, listen, doing life Jesus' way brings satisfaction. And when we choose to go against that, what happens is it brings suffering. A kind that God never intended you to experience. Now, we all suffer in one way or another, but there's times that we bring that on ourselves. And so Jesus would say, if you'll follow me, I make life better. And I help you to do life better. And that's my invitation to you today. Would you pray with me? God, today we thank you. And we invite you into our finances. I'm sure that we wish we would have invited you a long time ago, because if we did, we might not be where we are today. But you know what? You're always there for us. You're not mad at us. You're not judging us. You just are waiting for that invitation. And so we invite you today. And we ask that you would help us to be able to live in a way that you've called us to, so that we can experience every good thing that you have for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week. You can find us on social media, download our app, or subscribe to our weekly podcast through the App Store or Google Play. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.